Hi, good morning. My name is Jack, and from K-State, and I'm going to talk about using fertilizers to decompose the wheat straw, and I will focus on the physical evaluations today. And first, I would like to acknowledge the co-authors, Dr. Dean Presley, also my co-advisor, sitting there, and Dr. John Tatarko, and he's working at the USDA ARS, and he helped a lot on the lab work. Okay, a little bit. Introduction here. The benefits of the crop residue to the soil health has been studied a lot in the past previous years. And this is one of my study. And we can see that the more residue that we keep, like 100% cover, 100% removal, this is 0% removal residue, the more that we keep in the field, the less wind erodibility the soil is going to be. So this is very important in western Kansas, where the precipitation is limited. And also for the soil moisture, the higher that is the residue, the waste stubble that we have, the more snow that we could catch, which means in the springtime we will have higher soil moisture content. So overall, crop residue can benefit the physical, chemical, and the biological properties of the soil. So a very good way to keep the soil in the field is to do the no-till system. So you can see that in Kansas, till 2009, we almost have 40% of the land are in no-till, and I do believe right now it's more than 50% already. So, and one major problem for the no-till, if we have a very good year, previous crop year, what we will have is like this. When people are doing the planting, there would be too much crop residue in the field, and the planter disc cannot really get to the soil, so we have a standing issue in the future. So then what they do, the producer probably will go back to tillage, which will sacrifice all the no-till benefits that we get. And some fertilizer companies or the extension specialists probably will suggest maybe we could add some fertilizers to fasten the decomposition speed of the crop residue. So when the time that you go outside to do the planting, the residue would be weak enough and it will be easy to till to plant the seed into the soil. And so we initiated the study and to try to find out the effects of the liquid fertilizer rate and the timing on decomposition of the wheat straw. We did measure the above ground biomass after we applied the fertilizer and also some physical parameters including shear stress and the specific energy, and then we also look at the total carbon and nitrogen of the wheat straw residue, and I will only talk about the shear stress and the specific energy today. And this is the research site in Kansas. They're all in western Kansas, in Hays, Colby, and Garden City. They're all research fields from Kansas State. We have 13 treatments, but actually we only have 6 rates of the fertilizer. We have control, which means that we don't apply anything there, and we have the UAN and the ATS. I use the urea 20. 4060 indicates 20 pounds of nitrogen rate in the per acre in the soil. So it's actually UAN here, and ATS, then we mixed the UAN 60 and the ATS 30 together to make the mix. And we applied the fertilizers in the fall, which is about like 4 months after the harvest. And then we went to the field again in the spring, which is about like 8 to 9 months after we harvest the wheat, and we apply that again to the different plots. So it come up with 13 treatments in total. And we did this study twice. So once in September 2011 to actually to May 2012, and then we did that again the second year. And for the sampling size, we sampled 0.61 by 0.61 feet, which is meter, which is actually 20 feet by 20 feet. And we sampled 3 times in the summer 2012. Actually, it's scattered between the June to August. among the three sites, and then we did that again in 2013. But this time we did it better in June and October separately to kind of simulate the planting seasons. And after we take the samples, bog ground samples back, we air dried for 3 days and 54C in the oven. And to measure the physical parameters, we use the shear stress and the specific energy as the parameters. For the shearing test, we designed the shearing box. This is a shearing box designed in AutoCAD. And this is how it looks like after we manufacture it. So we basically have the shearing walls here, and this is called a shearing blade. And they go together like this, and it has a hose with a different diameters here. So you put the wheat straw across it like this here. And then the blade will actually move up by the machine here, the instrument machine. And here is a load cell connected to the computer. So the load cell will actually record the stress that you put on the wheat straw. And this is what it looks like for the shear force. So when the blade starts moving, the force on the wheat will actually accumulate, increase, until the breaking point, which is the highest point. And that is the shear force. Once we get the shear force here, we could actually do some calculation here. Divide the shear force by the area of the cross-sectional area, we get the shear stress. And if we accumulate the area under the line, we could get the total energy at the breaking point. And if we divide that by the cross-sectional area, we get the specific energy. And these are two parameters that we need. And for the cross-sectional area, we use a microscope. So basically, we take the photo. This is a cross-sectional. This is how it looks like, the intersection of the wheat straw. And this is a ruler, actually. So we should have a better one. But this is how it looks like under the microscope. And then we use a software, it's called a SigmaScan 5, to accumulate the area. So we have a very accurate result in this way. Okay, for the result, I'll focus on the, these are all the parameters that we measured, including the ash content, and I will talk about specific energy and shear stress. And this is the result from the summer 2012. And for three sites, for the specific energy, we only measure a significant result at haze. And we have the treatment issues here, we have time issues here, but we also have some interaction here. So, and if we look at the data, the specific energy actually range from somewhere from 3,800 joule per meter square to about 5,500 joule per square meter. And compared to the control here, the only significantly lower shear stress was measured at the UAN20 treatment and applied in spring, 2012 spring. And the others, although we have the treatment, we have the difference among the treatments, but they are not different from the control. So, and for the shear stress, this is the result from October 2013. And we only measured the difference, the significant result at haze as well. And this time, timing of the application of the fertilizer is a factor to affect the shear stress. And we could see that compared to the control group, UAN40 and UAN60 applied in 2012 fall actually had a significantly lower shear stress compared to the control, indicating longer application of the fertilizer will actually decompose the residue more. But it's very interesting that we did not see anything in the mist, because we applied the same amount of the UAN and ATS. UN60 and ATS60 into this plot, but we don't see any effect in this treatment. So, overall, the effects of the fertilizer application rate and timing on residue decomposition were not consistent throughout sites, nor sampling periods, nor properties. And due to the lower specific energy and the shear stress detected at some sites, it is possible that the liquid fertilizer applied to the waste residue may reduce its physical strength. That's what we want. But we did not measure the immediate result. So basically, we applied the fertilizer, but we don't see the immediate result of that. So it's not recommended to the producers. And in the study, we noticed that the weather actually did a major job in for our samples. We end up to drop one site due to the weather, because we applied the fertilizer, and when the sampling time come, and we went to the field, there's nothing inside the field. Basically, the wind blowed everything away from the plot, no matter it's decomposed or it's undecomposed. It's all gone. So we really favor a chamber study. So we could control the weather, we could control the climate condition a little bit better, and so we'll have a better understanding about how the fertilizer affects on the decomposition rate. So I'd like to thank the funding agency, the Fluid Fertilizer Foundation, and also the USDA ARS for their lab. So, thank you.
Very good, Jack. We have time for questions. There's a couple of questions. So, anybody have a question? There we are.
Could you do, I guess people have done bad decomposition studies. Could you do that as a way to get the data to have it?
No, we did not do that. So in this case, we actually first we looked up the above ground biomass. So basically, we went there, we sample, we have the control group, and then we have the treatment group. So we compare these two values here. And second, we really care about how much physical strength reduced by the fertilizer, because that's very straightforward for the producers. Basically, less diesel will be used by the tractor when they're doing the planting if the withdrawal is much, or the crop residue is much weaker there. So if we could find some results there, we could definitely tell them, hey, if you apply this kind of fertilizer, you will reduce the strength of the withdrawal, which means that you could save a lot of money on the diesel and the fuel. So that's why we initiated this study. Yes.
Your sample areas, or your study areas in western Kansas in a fairly dry environment. So do you think if you did the same study in eastern Kansas or in a more humid environment, you would have different results?
Yes, probably. Actually, according to some literature, the higher moisture content definitely will speed up the decomposition rate, because that will favor the microbial activities. So, yeah, I believe so.